is KGMI Connects with Joe Tian, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Welcome to our program here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's our open lines, open ideas, open opinion program. Whatever you say goes, well, at least while you're saying it. We don't tell you what you should think, how you should feel, what you should understand, or any of that. You tell us what is on your mind. 360-676-5464 is the phone number here at KGMI Connects. And we look forward to taking your calls over this next hour. And I do have to say, I'm a little surprised. Well, I don't know if I should be surprised. I don't know. But I am surprised that I've been hearing so much, I guess, direct disagreement with what the trial or with what the jury decided in the Derek Chauvin trial. They found the police officer guilty of all the charges yesterday, all three charges brought against him in the death of George Floyd. And obviously, people look, they see different aspects of this and go into it with a set in their mind what they want to see come out of a situation like that, out of a trial. I think we all of us who are able to recall the OJ trial, we all had our ideas about his guilt or innocence, and I know I had mine and still do, and so we watched the proceedings hoping to see our side vindicated or supported. And then when the verdict was announced, we either agreed with it or vehemently disagreed with it. And but I guess I'm surprised that there's this much disagreement with this verdict. It just seems that it was pretty cut and dried. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the second degree murder verdict is the guilty verdict on that one. Tough to wrap your head around. I'm just looking at what is the punishment or what is the legal definition of second degree murder, a non-premeditated killing resulting from an assault in which death of the victim was a distinct possibility. Second degree murder is different from first degree murder, which is a premeditated intentional killing or results from a vicious crime such as arson, rape, or armed robbery. So a second degree murder and then third degree murder, which we don't have here in Washington, as Attorney Jeffrey Lustig told us yesterday, is the name for a category of murder defined in the laws of three states, specifically Florida, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. Third-degree murder may include felony murder regardless of the underlying felony. Felony murder only where the underlying felony is nonviolent or depraved. Heart murder. It is punishable by a maximum of 40 years in prison. Pennsylvania, 25 in Minnesota. But, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people say on some of the other shows here on KGMI and elsewhere that, come on, the guy was a drug addict. He had a bad heart. And I even had this discussion with a coworker today. And how can you say that this action by this police officer killed him? But the guy was up and walking around. He was obviously talking to people in the store before he committed the alleged crime. Obviously, never been tried for the crime, never had the opportunity. But that he was that the officers were arresting him for. And sure, I mean, how many of us are walking around with a pre-existing condition? It made me think about the COVID-19 and how the debate has raged over whether that's what killed someone or a pre-existing condition. If someone had a heart condition, had some other sort of a health problem, that all of a sudden they got COVID, and people say, well, you know, how do you know that COVID killed them? How do you know it wasn't this other thing? But, you know, you're up, you're walking around, you're alive with this condition, as many of us are, in different health problems or issues that could potentially be fatal ultimately, but aren't. And then you encounter an illness like COVID, and you lose your life. Or in this case of George Floyd, that suddenly find, regardless of what he may have been experiencing health-wise before this, having a person's knee on your neck while your hands are handcuffed behind your back for over 9 minutes, it just seems, as the testimony of some of the experts in the trial said, you know, the guy wasn't in perfect health, but this was just too much for him to live through. So I'm just a little shocked at the idea that this was something that was not so serious and something that. Heck, you know, that's not what killed him. It was what he brought to the table health wise before all this occurred. But we want to hear what you have to say about this, about anything else. We'll go on to some other topics as well here on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464, our phone number. Let's go to John in Ferndale. Hi, John.
Hey, Joe. You know, with the proliferation of security cameras, something that I, do for a living, Ring cameras, more crimes are being caught. If that technology had been on Nicole Brown Simpson's house, when OJ was watching her and her boyfriend at the time being, you know, that's what set him off. And then him returning, nobody would be arguing that OJ was innocent. It was the absence of that concrete, absolute, drop-dead information. Mm. Proof is the bottom line for everyone, and there's nothing like 4K video proof. Now, kind of related to this, right? It takes your victims as they come. The reason that you don't see a lot of people pulling gorilla suit pranks at nursing homes is because those people have fragile hearts. And,
well,
you know,
that's a good
if
point.
You kill somebody,
yeah.
You're responsible for their death, third degree, second degree, what? You know, but this, and nobody ever talks about this, Joe, and you can research this. Chauvin and George Floyd both worked together. They worked security. When Chauvin was off duty, right, as many police officers do, at a nightclub, and they had a relationship, and we don't know, and that was never gone into in the trial. That was
right.
It had been covered, but George Floyd's not talking anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, I heard those reports that they had both worked at a time in different capacities there at a particular nightclub in Minneapolis, but. I did not hear that they had any sort of relationship beforehand, or that anybody
but
ever.
But they knew each other.
Did
he
they
knew him?
I mean, did they know each other?
We don't know the extent. Maybe they had a. It was passing. It was like.
Was it to the
point? Or they went bowling? No one knows.
Well, that's the thing.
Chauvin knows.
Well, did he recognize George Floyd as this?
What's the prior relationship? And Chauvin ain't talking.
Well,
and neither is George Floyd.
Yeah.
So that's my puzzlement.
Yeah, exactly.
About that case, but.
All right, thanks, John.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Yeah, and well, John makes a good point, and quite the metaphor there. People making gorilla suit surprises in nursing homes. I think, I think that's a good thing. People aren't going down that road, but. But yeah, the fact that with this proliferation of phone cameras now, we are seeing so many more of these incidents, and then we can be the armchair detectives and decide what we're seeing and make up our mind about a particular situation and how it unfolds and how it should have unfolded. So we are in a whole new world. You think about Rodney King, and that episode happened to be just videotaped by someone with a camcorder, lived across the street and saw it happening. That was, as I recall, that was really the harbinger. That was the first one of these incidents, because we had had them before. Some of these, I remember down in Miami back in the late 80s, I want to say, there was a man riding a motorcycle who was shot by police and caused some riots down in Miami. But no video there. Now we have video of these incidents, and so many of them anyway. Let's go to Rich in Ferndale. Hi, Rich.
How's Joe today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, I did hear something on the radio that I hadn't heard before, being the only thing I listen to for news is KGMI. I heard on Lars Larson that the autopsy of George Floyd had a high blood oxygen level of 98. So I'm not sure what that means, but in layman's terms, it kind of seems like he didn't die from choking. Is there another way to get high blood oxygen after being dead or something? I mean, that was kind of a strange little piece of thing I heard. I was like, whoa, never heard that before.
Well, and I had someone had called here and made that claim. Now, I'm going to have to look that up and how that would play into a person's death or would not prevent them from dying. I don't know. I mean, you'd think have an high oxygen level that you should be all right. But
there are other reasons to die, too, like drugs or hypertension or who knows. But it would be nice to know that, because we all saw the video, and in very plain sight it appears like that guy killed him by having the knee on the neck. I mean, that's what you see. But if there is more to it with autopsy and blood oxygen and drugs and this and that, it would be nice to know that. I would think the jury heard all that, but I'd imagine the jury was more worried about what would happen to the city than what's going to happen to that police officer.
Well, they're gonna
do what they got to do to keep the city from burning down, and just like the other lady police officer, she'll be sacrificed.
I don't know about that, because and I think that's unfair to make that judgment of people who sat on the jury and sat and watched the evidence from start to finish, and I'm sure
they know
took
what's
this,
going on.
Took
I mean,
this
everybody
very,
knows what's going on.
Well, obviously they do, but so have other people in other juries, and they've come down and on the side that they felt what they felt was right after looking at the evidence. And I don't speak for everybody, but I think a lot of folks thought that the verdict in the OJ trial was wrong.
I know. And weird. Isn't that weird? I actually forgot OJ was black. I forgot. I just think of him as a football star. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. OJ was a black guy, and he, like we all kind of think, got away with murder. I mean, they got him for something else, and, but. Mm-hmm. If America's so racist, how did O.J. get away with murder, and how come the richest woman is Oprah Winfrey? So we're not as bad as we like to think we are.
Well, and once again, you can't take a few instances like that and make a broad brush statement that we elected a Barack Obama president, so no more racism. There's no more racism anymore.
Well, he's only half black. We got to remember that. People forget that, too.
Okay, so we only got halfway there. Thanks, Rich.
Now you look at it's perspective.
Well, I'll look into the oxygen thing and see what I can find quick. Okay, thanks for your call.
Okay,
appreciate it. We'll take your calls coming up. Whatever is on your mind. Doesn't have to be this, but what we're chatting on is the verdict there in the George Floyd case. And obviously a very serious situation, but we want your thoughts on whatever is on your mind. 360-676-5464. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you looking for a vehicle that can adapt to all your adventures? At Dewey Griffin Subaru, that's exactly what you'll find when you check out the SUV for all you love, the 2021 Subaru Forester. The Forester doesn't just fit your lifestyle, it maximizes it. With standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and 33 miles per gallon, you'll love the extra spacious interior, and with EyeSight Driver Assist technology and automatic pre-collision braking, Subaru is dedicated to keeping you safe as you tackle life's greatest adventures. Stop in for a solo test drive today and discover what makes the 2021 Subaru Forester the SUV for all you love at Dewey Griffin Subaru. And if your vehicle needs service, check out Dewey's Express Service Center. It's fast, convenient, and best of all, there's no appointment necessary. Stop by for your next oil change or any other minor maintenance, and you'll get a free car wash with any service. Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru certified tire and service center in the county.
Not enough money left over at the end of each month? Then let West Edge Credit Union help you get ahead. Transfer your high-interest credit card balances to West Edge Credit Union. They're offering 3% cash back on the balance transfer amount with no transfer fee when you transfer balances to your West Edge Visa credit card. Earn up to $600 and save on interest. This offer is good through May 31st, 2021. West Edge Credit Union, on the corner of James and Alabama. Some conditions apply. See West Edge for details. West Edge Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
When you make Spring Creek by Bonaventure your home, you're not only getting the retirement of your dreams, the simplified lifestyle you deserve, and a spacious suite, you become part of our community. At Spring Creek by Bonaventure, new neighbors become best friends. Book a tour at retirementperfected.com or call us at 360-746-2432 and discover what it means to live life on your terms. Come in today and learn how we can save you thousands. Once again, that's retirementperfected.com.
Hi, this is Marcia Neal from Vibrant USA, here to let you know about some exciting changes that may impact your monthly individual and COBRA healthcare cost. The recently approved American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 may be able to save you money, but you must act soon. For information, let one of our knowledgeable agents review how these changes might impact you. Contact us at vibrantusa.com or give us a call at 866-733-5111.
The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Lots of things are changing in radio. That was going to happen. After the great Rush Limbaugh left us, there was going to be a lot of changing, and it's great to be on in Bellingham.
9 a.m. to noon each weekday.
All my new affiliates, welcome. It's great to have you in my universe, and you are inviting me into your home or your car, and I appreciate that greatly.
On KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And our previous caller brought up the issue of George Floyd's blood oxygen level and the contention that it was high, but I'm not able to find that. I'm just had a preliminary little search here, and one of the experts that testified at the trial, Derek Chauvin's trial, Dr. Martin Tobin, renowned pulmonary critical care doctor. He is the kind of the white-haired doctor, if you watched any of the proceedings. He said that the cause of death was low level of oxygen. Said this caused damage to his brain that we see. It also caused a PEA arrhythmia that caused his heart to stop. That's what that doctor testified. Now, I went to try and find what the actual results of the initial autopsy were. And that was that George Floyd died of cardiopulmonary arrest, complicating law enforcement, subdual restraint, and neck compression. American Heart Association identifies cardiopulmonary arrest as the abrupt loss of heart function in a person. There's that. Let's go right to the phones. We want to hear from you, whatever's on your mind, by the way, 360-676-5464. And Jim in Bellingham joins us. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thanks.
Yes. Well, back on my same theme, okay. I guess there's a lot of things that add up that fall under similar themes, but I heard Dennis Prager, and he's blaming everything, including this police violence or whatever, on the left. He says the left has a chokehold on America. Hmm. And I think that's deceptive, even though he said on the show that he never tells lies, but he may be saying things that I don't agree with, that I think are wrong. He thinks that the president, Joe Biden, is a leftist. I'm sure he'd believe that. He called him a despicable. Hmm. But I know what Joe Biden even said during the campaign, that he said that 500 billionaires aren't the problem. So he's not. Most leftists would have a much different program than allowing so much billionaires to take up so much of the money if they were left. And what I never got to tell him, but I argued with one of his colleagues that thought that the Nazi Party, the name of it was the National Socialist German Workers' Party, even though Hitler was a right winger, not a socialist. Socialism is left, it's a workers'. Workers' society, at least in the influence. And so Michael Parenti has pointed out that Hitler cut wages by 40% or something much that great, and that he hated Marx and all that, but they named the Nazi Party the National German Socialist Workers' Party because it got more people that didn't have a lot of money to do the work for him or to support them and involve themselves. And it was in name only because, the real problem I have is that everyone has to appeal to the middle class and the lower as if they're on their side. And I find that disingenuous at the most, and I think it's causing a problem because, you know, the media does not really report these issues down to the level where, you know, an actual real leftist would, like Michael Parenti, would ever get on the show. I wish Dennis Prager would put people like Michael Parenti on instead of having me say it secondhand over your show, but... those are, he would debunk him. He puts out things like that.
You think back and how Barack Obama was labeled a socialist and, this out of control leftist. But then most dyed in the wool socialists here in the United States said the guy is a pretty lame socialist if that's what he's trying to be. He's not meeting the bar that is set. And I think, you know, like you say, we have to be, we can't compare different, you know, names of parties, movements in different countries, or the names even of different countries, and as apples and apples between what we have here. I mean, you think about it, a conservative in the Soviet Union was someone likely who within the Soviet Union was somebody who, was a member of the party and was, believed in the mission of, the Soviet Socialist Republic, as opposed to here, you think of a conservative was, as staunch anti-conservatives as you could get. And so, yeah. I mean, what is it? The People's Republic of China. Does that mean they're a republic like we're a republic? I don't think so. And we can't. So to make those comparisons is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, totally ridiculous,
yes.
I would say.
Michael Parenti pointed out once, he said that, did Lenin hunger for power, or did he want the power to end hunger? So I'm not suggesting we all want to go to some Bolshevik revolution, but there's history behind that, too, that Stalin did believe that the attack was going to be coming, and they prepared very long and arduously for the expected attack from the West. And I've read another excerpt where they, off Michael Parenti's CDs or whatever, which says that Stalin did want the non-aggression pact with Germany was not really an agreement to die. He wanted a buffer zone because he expected the attack to come. And France and England both rejected a plan to intervene sooner before the war got started. Mm-hmm. And Stalin would have gone along with that. So there's a lot more to be said, and I'll thank you very much for allowing me to bring this up.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Appreciate your thoughts. I think Stalin is hardly one that we want to emulate or in any way praise for anything that he ever did. And we sided with him during the Second World War against a greater evil, which was Nazism. But ultimately, he was one of the great criminals of the 20th century, if not of history, as what we saw unfold there under Stalin. But thanks for your thoughts. And we've got other folks on the phone. We'll get right to you here on KGMI Connects, 360-676-64.
Ah, summer. It seems so far away, but this is the year to plan ahead and save big. When others are hot and stuffy and that last AC unit is sold out, you'll be cool and comfortable in your healthy home. Barron Heating and Air Conditioning has partnered with Daikin Air Intelligence to bring you an affordable pre-season cooling special on the Daikin Fit. With up to $3,500 in savings, a Daikin Fit heat pump both heats and cools for better comfort, control, and efficiency, now and when summer hits. And while supplies last, Barron will include a free air purifier known to kill 99% of tested viruses, including the virus that causes COVID-19, with your Daikin Fit heat pump or AC purchase. So play it cool. Plan ahead and call Barron today to save up to $3,500 on a high-efficiency Daikin Fit heat pump system or over $1,500 on a Daikin Fit air conditioning system. Plus, get a free virus-killing air purifier with your purchase while supplies last. Barron, your full-service HVAC, electrical, and plumbing contractor. Our mission, improving lives.
Best News Brief. A day after Derek Chauvin's guilty verdict, the Justice Department starts investigating the Minneapolis Police Department's policies and practices. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
I strongly believe that good officers do not want to work in systems that allow bad practices.
Mourners gathered at a Minneapolis church for the wake of Dante Wright, the 20-year-old black man who was shot by a police officer in a nearby suburb. Wright family lawyer Ben Crump.
When you watch that video, your conscience tells you it is the right thing to do to stand up for Dante Wright.
President Biden says the country has reached 200 million COVID shots and it's time for employers to help out.
Every employee should get paid leave to get a shot. And businesses should know that they can provide it without a hit to their bottom line.
He says the IRS is rolling out a reimbursement program. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Now you won't have to wait in line, be turned away, or hear, "We're totally full," the next time your car needs collision repair. Number one automotive body repair, Bellingham's premier facility for brand-certified collision repair, is doubling in size. Number one automotive body repair offers the most advanced, state-of-the-art services north of Seattle. On the corner of Bakerview and Hannigan, part of the number one collision group.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Go right to the phones, and John in Bellingham's been holding on. Hi, John.
Hey, Joe. Listening to the show yesterday, and I thought it was strange that very few people actually seem to call in after such a controversial introduction to your show. And then listening today, I think if people just needed to catch their breath, you know, and they weren't
probably
quite sure.
I think you're right. Yeah.
How to plant, and you know, and like, you know, what exactly how to, if you happen to hold the dissenting view, do you bite your tongue and swallow it, or do you sort of venture forth? But I just was going to say, and just briefly about the OJ trial and verdict. You know, I never thought that black Americans thought OJ was innocent any more than white Americans. That wasn't the point. They just wanted him to be found not guilty and beat the system guilty. And it's actually better if he was guilty, because that would make his victory even more emphatic. I don't think they were particularly identified particularly with O.J. Simpson. I mean, he lived a totally different lifestyle. But, he, you know, in his trial, I mean, it was certainly played up as his black identity and mm-hmm. But I don't think it was a question of him being innocent, no, so much as just you know, being found not guilty,
yeah.
You know, and beating the charges. But
and anyways, I think that's a good point, and I think that probably did play into it in many people's minds, is that this is a way to get back at the white system that has put him on trial, and for you know, whether that's you know, correct or not, that assumption. But yeah.
Well, I remember when the verdict was announced. I mean, there was like, you could almost hear it. If you stepped out of your door, you could either hear a big groan or a big cheer from, you know, from simultaneously when the verdict was announced. But anyway, you know, the thing, and you can argue back and forth about whether the trial, you know, how convincing was the videotape, and, you know, is there any argument to be made, you know, in Chauvin's defense? But the dangerous thing to me is that the verdict was almost commanded. I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if there had, say, just the manslaughter charge had been approved and the other two charges had been dropped? Cities up in flame and buildings. I mean, I can't see how anybody, you know, how he, any jury, and they must have been, I'm sure the jury was aware of that. I mean, we're all aware of that, I think.
Yeah.
How do you possibly, if you think the verdict, you know, a fair verdict would be to find him innocent in a couple of, I mean, how do you even make that stand? I mean, and plus you would be identified eventually as the juror that hung the jury or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
And I think that's the dangerous part. I mean, you know, you get Maxine Waters and or whatever her name is, and even the president after the, you know, the so-called, the jury was sequestered. But you know, coming, you know, down on one side, I'm sure that may be right or wrong, but I mean, you know, the point of the trial is to let the trial determine the outcome and the evidence presented, not to have, you know, this overwhelming force of power that, you know, in the country determine, kind of compel the jury to have a certain outcome.
Yeah, but I don't know. When you watch the trial, and I know there's been a lot of discussion about the, you know, okay, did the police chief of Minneapolis, did he just make a show of this? And we could you know, debate all this stuff all along. But if you really followed the trial and you saw what the jury saw, first of all, I had never seen the whole tape from beginning to end until I watched the opening arguments, and the prosecution showed that video, and you really got a sense of what the situation was and how that was a powerful piece of evidence, obviously, that then you saw the police chief, you saw the head of the police union, you saw these high powered and highly ranked you know, officials of that police department, you know, testifying against their own officer and saying this was wrong, and you know, this is, you know, what we believe it was. We believe he's guilty, and I don't know. I thought there's and then too with the issue of whether or not the jury was playing to the public and playing to the mob. I just would say that they had an out. They could have, if that was really what they decided. You know, they could have gone for manslaughter and said, well, maybe things won't be as bad. Or, hey, if we're going to do this, let's go with third-degree murder. But they threw the whole book at the guy, and I don't know. It's that, to me, seems that they took this pretty seriously. They looked at all the evidence and said, yeah, we think he did what everything they're accusing him of. So I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, they may well have, you know, come to the conclusion that they would have come to on their own. But when you have this backdrop of this kind of threatened, I mean, and the violence would have been incredible, I think, if, you know, remember the Rodney King.
Oh, yeah, I remember very well.
You know,
yeah.
That was 30 years ago or so? And
well,
I mean,
almost.
It was gone now.
It was 20, I mean, yeah, 20, what was that, 20?
Right. I think it was
early
90s. 92 or 93, like that,
yeah, but, you're right. Yeah, yeah. So almost 30
but,
years.
You know, even though they may have come to the, you know, the correct, and I'm not saying they didn't, but it doesn't stand, you know, it can't really stand on its own when you have this kind of, you know, this threat behind you if you don't come to the right decision. Is it, you never really know what motivated them, and maybe they'll come out and speak. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
that's
it'd be
all
interesting.
I had.
Thanks, yeah. John. Yeah, okay, well, and yeah, that's true. We'll never know for certain unless they do speak out about it, maybe. And, well, there's probably a good chance we'll hear from the jury one way or another eventually. Let's go to Tom in Port Angeles. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Joe. How are you today?
Very good, thanks. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, back in the 20s and the 30s, the blacks had their own eugenics program. And with thinkers like Du Bois and teachers like Turner and their organization, the NAACP, NAACP, used the ideological flexibility inherent in eugenic theory to advance their own political and social programs. And it was working really good, so much so that by the time we get into the 40s, the Tuskegee Airmen came from somewhere. And they didn't all come from the black populations of the United States. They were selected out of parts of this eugenics program that the NAACP was supporting, and also other places, well, in the Caribbean, where there had been black slaves and black slave owners. And if I'm not mistaken, further on in this book, Harris is actually mentioned, and that would be Kalama Harris's father or grandfather. I'm not sure, but
what book
can
is
I give
it?
You some,
what book? What
can
book
I give
is
some,
this?
Some recommended reading.
Sure,
to see where this all comes from.
Well, I'll give it a try. What book is this?
The book is A Century of Genetics, or the Century, A Century of Eugenics in America. Okay. From the Indiana Experiment to the heat of the human genome era. Okay. And the article, it's the book is edited by Paul A. Lombardo, and it comes from the Indiana Press, the Indiana University Press.
Right.
So if we're ever going to dig out of this hole, because eugenics got suppressed first with the eugenics programs that the NAACP had, and then it slowly withered away up until 1974, 72 in America when it was finally fully abolished. So that's what I've got for you. The article, the book is Paul A. Lombardo, and it comes from the Indiana University Press, Bloomingdale, Indianapolis.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
1-800, you know,
okay.
I won't give you the phone number.
Okay. And what's the brief title, the main title?
The main title is The Century of Eugenics in America.
The Century of Eugenics in America. So, okay, I've got my reading assignment there. I'll take a look at it, because that's an area I'm not familiar with. But we want to hear from you, 360-676-5464, whatever's on your mind. It's KGMI Connects.
Are you looking for a vehicle that can adapt to all your adventures? At Dewey Griffin Subaru, that's exactly what you'll find when you check out the SUV for all you love, the 2021 Subaru Forester. The Forester doesn't just fit your lifestyle, it maximizes it with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and 33 miles per gallon. You'll love the extra spacious interior, and with EyeSight Driver Assist technology and automatic pre-collision braking, Subaru is dedicated to keeping you safe as you tackle life's greatest adventures. Stop in for a solo test drive today and discover what makes the 2021 Subaru Forester the SUV for all you love at Dewey Griffin Subaru. And if your vehicle need service, check out Dewey's Express Service Center. It's fast, convenient, and best of all, there's no appointment necessary. Stop by for your next oil change or any other minor maintenance, and you'll get a free car wash with any service. Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru-certified tire and service center in the county.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson for Asset Advisors. While the last few months have been challenging, it also creates great opportunity. Wealth Advisors Dick and Camille at Asset Advisors have been busy assisting their clients while looking forward to the future. 5 years ago, they started down the path of change by joining Carson Group as a partner. This path has now led them to becoming fee-based advisors, putting them on a parallel path with their clients. Fees based on the value of the accounts they manage, not selling high commission products. Dick and Camille would like to help you paint a picture of your ideal life. Call them at 733-1200 or go to their website, wealthwakeup.com, or join them on Wealth Wake Up every Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday mornings at 9 on KGMI.
This advertisement is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice, an endorsement, or recommendation for any individual. No strategy ensures success or protects against loss. To determine what is appropriate for you, consult a qualified professional. Advisory services offered through CWM LLC, a registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
The guys at AirTech Heating know you've been spending more time in your home, a lot more time, and that does not look like it's going to be changing anytime soon. So, why not install an air conditioner and update your indoor air quality this spring before the hot weather hits? Call AirTech and have your new air conditioner, heat pump, or ductless system installed today. For more information, call AirTech Heating at 734-5010 and online at airtechheat.net. And stay comfortable year-round.
In the shop.
Comparing your personal health with your auto repair and why it's so important to take care of both yourself and your car.
Steve from Panacea, Kurt from Angler, Brian from Dr. John's, and Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive.
If I go to my doctor versus going to the people who take care of my car, people who take care of my car spend a lot more time with me.
In the shop, 9 to 10 a.m. every Saturday on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on KGMI Connects. We do want to hear from you. Got a few minutes left here on the program. Take your calls, open lines, open ideas, open opinion program. And talk about the verdict in the Derek Chauvin murder trial. He's now been convicted of murder. second degree, third degree, and manslaughter charge. And I still, I can only imagine the pressure that the jury felt themselves under. And as our one of our callers said, you know, that he can't imagine that they didn't have that in the back, at least in the back of their heads, as they deliberated the verdicts here. And I can understand that. I still think I want to think that they put that aside as they decided on guilt or innocence in this case. But as I said, we'll know eventually what they were thinking, what was discussed in the jury room. Someone may write a book or maybe be a movie about it. I mean, that's the kind of case this is, you know, a case that reverberated around the globe, really. And I guess I can't, can't see how that would not play into someone's thought process as they considered how to vote on this. But if you watch the trial, and I'm just speaking as someone who, as all of us, regardless of, you know, just sat back and saw it on the news, or you know, read about it each day, or listened to you know, what was said each day, it sure seemed there was a preponderance of evidence against this officer, and the defense didn't really counter it. And as in any trial, the defense doesn't have to do anything. The defense, the burden of proof is on the prosecution. The prosecution has to prove the charges that are brought against an individual, against a defendant. The defense doesn't have to do anything. They could sit there with their arms folded and say, we don't have any case to present. That's it. Obviously, they did. They brought some people forward, but it seemed like there was a lot of heavyweight stuff on the side of on the side of the prosecution. Let's go back to the phones, though. We're joined by Rob in Bellingham. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
I'm disappointed in the way the president handled it. I don't think it was presidential, and it's typical of a Joe Biden of 40 years who, pretty racist associated. You know, everyone forgets the Democratic Party was the party of the KKK. And his buddies were people like Robert Byrd, who was a KKK grand wizard, and in the Senate, he thought he was a very good man. And so the way he handled his verdict, I saw his speech. It was race baiting. It was appealing to emotion. He was going beyond. We know there was emotion and distress and they're hurt, but it wasn't helping. If anything, it was riling people up. He thought, you know, he thinks he was calming things down, but, you know, he goes into the suffering of George Floyd and all that, and that's all true, but he's the president. And I think what he should have said is that the jury process worked, a verdict was given that was found just by the system, and this is the way our system works. And by the way, BLM and you Antifa people, I will not tolerate, when these procedures are going on, cities being boarded up, cringing that you're going to burn them more down. I won't tolerate it anymore. There may be more trials in the future. There may be more crimes, and they will be handled by the justice system, and you can protest peacefully in the streets. But looters will be prosecuted. Looters will be arrested, and I'll bring in the National Guard every time, and you better cut it out. He doesn't have the guts and courage to say that, and so he'll encourage more in the future. They've had no reason to back down. And Maxine Waters, the whole bunch of them are the same. It's really looking like it's the paramilitary arm of the Democratic Party. It's a disgrace. And the people that suffered the most are the black businesses that get burned out and have a shell of a neighborhood afterwards. And Joe Biden needs to get presidential and talk some tough talk in addition to the business of the verdict. The verdict vindicated our justice system, but Joe Biden is not vindicating our justice system on the streets of these towns.
All right, Rob.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate you calling, and those are your thoughts. I can't say I agree with all of them, but I'm happy to have you call and express yourself and express your thoughts. And We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. It's KGMI Connects.
Hi, this is Marcia Neal from Vibrant USA, here to let you know about some exciting changes that may impact your monthly individual and COBRA healthcare cost. The recently approved American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 may be able to save you money, but you must act soon. For information, let one of our knowledgeable agents review how these changes might impact you. Contact us at vibrantusa.com or give us a call at 866-733-5111.
When you make Spring Creek by Bonaventure your home, you're not only getting the retirement of your dreams, the simplified lifestyle you deserve, and a spacious suite, you become part of our community. At Spring Creek by Bonaventure, new neighbors become best friends. Book a tour at retirementperfected.com or call us at 360-746-2432 and discover what it means to live life on your terms. Come in today and learn how we can save you thousands. Once again, that's retirementperfected.com.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Columbia Fire, and Vibrant USA. Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. Let's go right back to the phones. Welcome Randy and Ferndale to the program. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Joe. I'll probably be called a racist when I'm done with this.
All right, I'm ready.
Anyway, this country has gone to mob rule. This is a mob. The mobs are controlling the cities. The mobs are, well, I guess you can't call the ones on the southern border a mob because I guess it's open borders now. And then there's the mob that controls the justice system. I don't know if there was ever a case that cried more for reasonable doubt than this case. I watched about, I'm guessing, 75% of that trial, and everything that I saw, it eventually came up to reasonable doubt. And okay. How they could, I mean, if they had just found him guilty of manslaughter, they'd have still burned the place down. If they'd have found him guilty of one thing, anything, they would have still burned the place down. And those jurors, if you don't think that was on their mind, that they saw a Minneapolis be burned to the ground after it happened, what do you think they're thinking about when they go home as soon as somebody finds out their name? Their house is on the burned to the ground as well. He might have should have got up earlier on the guy. I don't know. But with all the other things that were going on in that man's life, if there was no chance at all that something else caused his death other than the knee on his neck and back, I bet you if you put your knee on a scale and see how hard you can press down and see if you can get up to 170 pounds on one spot with your knee on that scale, I'll throw in with you.
All right. Okay.
And one other thing I wanted to – I might have this wrong, but I understood that he had – they were talking about the carbon monoxide. He had 198% oxygen in his blood. So that was great. So if he had 198. If he had 98% oxygen in his blood, how did he die of no oxygen in his brain?
I don't know. And once again, I've heard that. I don't know where you're finding it or where people are finding that because I haven't been able to find it, but I'll keep looking.
Well,
I'll see if I can find it.
That was actually said. That was one of the things they did a rebuttal. That was the prosecution's witness. He said that's what the guy had in his blood system was that 98% or whatever blob of oxygen. Well, But if that was the case, how did he die of oxygen depression?
Well, I'm not seeing that, though. I'm seeing that the expert, that the respiratory doctor who testified during the trial, said he died from low level of oxygen. That likely caused brain damage. So I don't know. We'll have to keep looking after this. But thanks for your thoughts, Randy. I want to real quick give Penny opportunity. Penny in Bellingham. Hi.
Hey, so I think I have the answer to what you were just talking about.
The blood oxygen level?
Yeah, I tried to find the same thing that you've been trying to find. And over and over, the experts testified that he died from low oxygen. But one of the things that the defense tried was to say that the car that he was being held down by, that the car was running, and that carbon monoxide had a problem for him. Only they couldn't prove, first off, that the car was even running. And second off, they said that his blood had 2% carbon monoxide, so that wasn't a factor. And I think people are saying, well, if he had only 2% carbon monoxide, then he must have had 98% oxygen, showing that they don't know much about the composition of air or the whole situation. But I think that's where they're pulling that 98% from.
I see. Yeah, because there was the issue of the carbon monoxide test that had apparently been done, but it wasn't initially seen by the prosecution, and then they tried to present it late in the trial, and the judge said that he would declare a mistrial if they mentioned it, and so they didn't go there. They didn't present any kind of carbon monoxide because that was a contention, at least, that was raised by one of the defense witnesses.
I think somebody not at the trial is doing their own math.
Ah.
I think I'm not really paying attention.
So there was 2% carbon monoxide in his system,
right,
and then making the leap to that meant they had that he had 98% oxygen. So yeah, I see what you're saying, and not a physiological correct examination of what exactly was there. But
there's a really good article if you go online and you're looking for whether he could breathe. There's some really good articles about the fact that if you And this is one of the experiments this guy says to do. He says, all you have to do to try this out for yourself is take a normal breath, let a normal breath out.
Okay.
Then really force out as much air as you possibly can. And even after doing this, you're still able to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
And,
okay.
And you'll find yourself gasping and pretend like you can't take another breath in. You'll find yourself, if you kept it up, you would die.
Yeah.
But you can still speak for quite a while, even though you force all the air you can out.
That's true, yeah. And that was that was another contention that where the police officers on the scene were saying, well, you're speaking, you've got to be able to breathe. But thanks for your thoughts, Penny. Thanks for all your calls today. And we'll be back tomorrow here on KGMI Connects. The afternoon news is next. Take care.